Paul is saying that when we believe the gospel by God's grace, the Spirit comes to live in us. And this is what makes us a part of the body of Christ. This is what is meant by the term baptism in the Spirit.
Welcome to Mission 66 from the Bible Teaching Ministry of Pastor Luis Seau and TWR. John Matthews and Esther Sisulu have been leading us through Paul's letter to the Corinthians. If you have your study guide, then follow along with John and Esther. Let's get started.
Well, this is the series of studies on the letters of the New Testament, and today we have 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which actually deals with the spiritual gifts. Now, every believer in Christ has at least one spiritual gift, but it's not just for our own personal satisfaction, but rather for the building up of the whole church. So today, John will present the theme, One for All and All for One.
Esther, thank you very much. Great to have you with us for this, the latest episode of Mission 66. And yes, friends, if you've been following us on Mission 66, you will know that we've been looking at a letter which the Apostle Paul wrote to one of the churches that he founded. Now, this church was in the ancient Greek city of Corinth. You'll have also noticed from Paul's letter that there were some significant, even major problems within this church in Corinth. They lacked unity. The church was marked by divisions, people taking sides, fighting over insignificant matters, and also misusing the ordinance called the Lord's Supper or Communion. But now, Paul talks about one of the more exciting themes in the New Testament, and that is spiritual gifts. So let's read from verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. You know, the most basic way of determining whether a movement or someone is of God or not is to notice their attitude towards Jesus. If they downplay the importance of Jesus, or if they can't say that Jesus is Lord, or if they speak against Jesus, then they need to be viewed with doubt. Jesus ought to be honored by all. Faith in his shed blood on the cross is what gives us right standing before God, and therefore it's of first importance. And if a person is right about the deity of Jesus, the chances are that they won't go far astray when it comes to doctrine. But in the same way the Corinthians didn't understand the importance of unity, in the same way they didn't understand what the Lord's Supper, that's communion, meant, and in the same way they had problems with their moral and their interpersonal conduct. And so here we find out that they also didn't understand the purpose of, certainly didn't yet understand the purpose of, and the proper use of their spiritual gifts. And so Paul is just about to explain it. And so we'll read the entire rest of the chapter, then Esther and I will talk about it. Verse 4, Paul says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, by the one Spirit, to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Jesus Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Well, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," well, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that may seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow the greater honour. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And so if one member suffers, all suffer together. If the one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And then Paul ends by saying, "Yet I will show you a still more excellent way." And we're going to be looking at that more excellent way, as Paul describes it, next time when we head into chapter 13. But you see here, Paul makes it clear that there is only one God, one Saviour, and one Holy Spirit, who works through all the people in the church for the benefit and the building up of all. Or in other words, one for all and all for one.
You're listening to Mission 66, and this is our Bible study program, and we're taking it chapter by chapter. And today we're in that very interesting chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul talks about spiritual gifts. Now, John, I wonder, is this the complete list of spiritual gifts, or perhaps there are some other gifts that don't show up in this passage?
Well, Esther, I think first we have to distinguish between those spiritual gifts, which are only given by the Spirit of God to believers, and giftedness, which means talents. You know, I might be able to play a musical instrument very well and make money from doing so. That's a talent and does not count as a spiritual gift. I might be very good at playing sport, but that too is a talent rather than a spiritual gift. And there are many diversities of giftedness which are necessary for the smooth operation of society in every part of the world. Artists, writers, poets, dramatists. Some are strong and so can work at things which demand great physical energy and strength, such as construction, logging, and so on. Not everybody can do that. Some are school teachers, college professors. Some are great with numbers, and so work as accountants, bookkeepers, engineers. Not everybody can do that. Some are gifted as doctors, nurses, fire and police officers, and thank God for them. Psychotherapists, counsellors, doctors, surgeons, cooks, managers, clean-up experts, garbage men, rocket scientists, factory workers. Where would we be as a society without all those individuals who have specific gifts and callings? And as a member of the human race, each one of us has our strong points and things that only we can do that others can't. But that is not the same as a spiritual gift. Talents are gifts whether the person is a believer in Christ or not. Now, a believer, though, may use his or her talent to benefit the church, and indeed, we ought to use our talents that God has given us for him, but even that is not the same as spiritual gifts. And besides 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that the chapter we're currently in, we're also going to see spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 4. A list in one place is not necessarily then the same list in another chapter, and none of them then are an exhaustive list, but there may be other gifts like the gift of evangelism and so on. Well, this comes easier for some than others, and the gift of giving and the gift of helping as well are other gifts.
This is fantastic. I love to hear this. I'd actually like for us to go through the list that we have and share something about each of these gifts.
Yeah, good idea. Well, look, verse 8, we see the spiritual gifts called the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Now, these have to do with a God-given ability to speak powerfully or to give the church wise counsel, to know which direction to go or identify a ministry to undertake which they would not ordinarily think of. And the utterance then of knowledge means that somebody has a God-given piece of information that nobody could know otherwise. And I've seen this happen, Esther, where someone has been given the ability to find hidden objects or detect lies. Old Testament prophets were often given special knowledge about those they were sent to. You remember in Acts, the Apostle Peter was given the utterance of knowledge to know that Ananias and Sapphira were lying about the amount that they were giving to the church. Again, those gifts are given by God. And verse 9 says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles. And so these are all different gifts which are closely related, actually, because faith is the common denominator in each. Faith is involved in each. And while it takes some faith to even believe in Jesus, there is such a thing as great faith, even to the point of removing obstacles. And like Jesus said, saying to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea. And so we need people, don't we, with great faith in the church. Likewise, it mentions Esther's gift of healing. And we saw again in the book of Acts where the apostles were able to lay their hands on the sick and they were healed and they recovered.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I know it also says, to another is given the spiritual gift of prophecy. So let's explain further what that means.
Well, this is what is meant by the ability to speak God's word, but it can also be taken to mean knowing the times and the seasons, or to speak a word from God that does not rise to the level of what is in the Bible. Yet it doesn't contradict what is in the Bible, but instead it illuminates the words in the Bible to our understanding in a way that doesn't come from mere book learning. To another is given the ability to distinguish between spirits, and that means to detect the origin of that spirit, whether it's based in demonic influence, and also to know who may be trying to infiltrate the church in order to So discord and discouragement.
So interesting. I know it also mentions the gift of, as it says, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. You know, I wonder, John, if this actually goes beyond what we would call learning another language.
Yeah, perhaps. And I believe there are people who are especially gifted in the ability to learn foreign languages. Now, learning new languages comes easier to some than it does to others. And that ability is a talent. Now, we should also mention other possible meanings of this term tongues. So some think Paul means the ability to supernaturally speak another known language. Others think tongues are of a language that is known only to God, a prayer language, perhaps. But whatever spiritual gifts may be imparted to the church, it's important to recognize what Paul says here in verse 11. He says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he, the Spirit, wills. And the Spirit is a person, not a thing. So the Holy Spirit is as much a part of the Godhead as God the Father and the Son, and so is able to distribute spiritual gifts to whomever that he sees fit. And we as believers get at least one spiritual gift, and some are given more than one.
And I suppose, in all fairness, John, we have to add that there are some who don't believe that the gifts of tongues are for today. They would even say that these were given before the New Testament was complete as signs of apostolic authority, but which later disappeared after the New Testament was finished.
Yeah, and, you know, I understand that point, and certainly people are free to believe that if they wish, and there are those who believe that none of the miracles talked about in the Bible are for today. And so it comes down to, what do you believe about these things? Did God do miracles then and not now? Does God still speak today as he did in the days of the apostles? Do you believe that God is a different God today than he was when the book of Acts was written? And the truth is that God is not limited by man or by the times. God is able to do whatever he chooses, whenever he chooses, because he is God. And what he does will ultimately be, Esther, won't it, more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine.
Absolutely. And you know, even if we do say that the gift of tongues are for today, John, I mean, can one assume that the gift of tongues is given to everyone who's saved?
No, it's not for everybody, because nobody has all the spiritual gifts mentioned. You know, Paul himself, who admitted that he himself speaks or spoke in tongues, asks, do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Well, of course, the answer is no. Paul then says, do all speak in tongues? And the obvious answer again is no. And even Christian communities that really value the gift of speaking in tongues know very well that not all Christians have that gift, even if they are deeply spiritual. It's not associated to how spiritual someone is. That is just a fallacy. That's just simply not the truth. And it's a dangerous thing if people start to go down that line. You know, tongues are going to be discussed in greater detail when we get to chapter 14, but the apostle there will be speaking about the proper exercise, the proper context to exercise tongues, saying that in church there also needs to be an interpreter so that everyone will know what's being said. But we can't measure anybody's spirituality based on whether or not they speak in tongues. And same thing goes for the gift of healing, or indeed any of the other gifts of the Spirit. We know, for instance, that God heals, and we've seen it happen when people pray. But not everyone gets healed, at least not immediately. Let's face it, we're all going to have to die of something. And that's a good thing for the believer, because we would not want to live forever in this present body, which does age and deteriorate as the years pass by, no matter how well we look after it.
Now, Have all of us been baptized in the Spirit? I ask this because of the phrase that's mentioned in verse 13, John, where it says, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized in one body."
Well, Esther, you know, it's important to understand this properly. Paul is saying here that when we believe the gospel by God's grace, the Spirit comes to live inside of us. And that is what makes us a part of the body of Christ. And this is what's meant by the term baptism in the Spirit. And in this sense, every believer has this. And it's by one Spirit. There are not many Holy Spirits, just one. And it's He who distributes the gifts to individual believers for the benefit of the whole. Now, when someone says that baptism in the Spirit means to be filled with a special anointing or an unusual power of God to do His work, then that's a different meaning. We don't deny that people have those special encounters or experiences. But baptism by the Spirit or of the Spirit, which we find here in 1 Corinthians, is something given to all when we convert.
And you know what? God truly is the giver of good gifts. And it's fantastic that we're learning about this right now. But now, looking at the end of chapter 12, focusing on verses 28 to 30, it seems that some gifts are more important than others. So is this what Paul is suggesting?
Well, yes and no. You know, when it comes to gifts, Paul explicitly says in verse 28, as you mentioned, and God has appointed in the church, and he numbers them, doesn't he? He goes, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then miracles, healing, the gift of helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues come after those three. But then in verse 31, Paul says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. So yes, in one sense, there is an order given to the gifts. But when it comes to people, nobody is more important than anybody else. Let's look at it this way. Which of the parts of your body would you like to do away with? Well, the answer, of course, is none. And so there are different vital roles and different vital gifts. It is unity in diversity.
So how do we know what our spiritual gift is? How can we as individuals determine what gift, what spiritual gift we've been given?
Well, there are actually tests available that enable you to see what gifts score higher for you. But generally, if you have a spiritual gift, you'll know it because it will be something that comes easily and naturally for you. And it'll be something that does not come easily and naturally for somebody else. So it's something that is innate in your created being, something that God has given you, something that's within you, something that is real to you, something that is part of your nature, your God-given created nature.
Well, that is good news. I think right now we should move on to our summary for the day. It was a really great chapter, John.
Yeah, that's right. It was, wasn't it? And the theme today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 was one for all and all for one. That even though each believer is endowed with at least one gift, we call them gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the intent is that the people will use those gifts not for personal enjoyment, but for the good of others, for the good of the entire church body and way beyond. So Jesus is Lord, and all the credit and all the thanks and the honour ought to go to him, not to anyone in the church. And if you've been given a spiritual gift, use it for the glory of God.
Well, that is it for today, dear friends. We certainly hope that you've enjoyed this episode, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue our adventure in 1 Corinthians right here on Mission 66.
Before you hit the pause button, let me remind you to head on over to mission66.org to download your study guide. It's free. dive deeper into the Bible teaching of John Matthews, and learn how it all relates to your Christian walk. Tag along with John and Esther on our Bible road trip episode by episode. Your study guide's waiting for you at mission66.org. That's where you can also post your questions or make a comment, and even help out with a donation to keep Mission 66's heart beating around the world. Hop on over to mission66.org. Mission 66 is a partnership of TWR and the ministry of Dr. Luis Seau.